Okay, yesterday we left off at the top of Ted Vavim Aleph by the statement of Ulam Rav Yochanan, which is Holacha Shlo Beregel Psula, that walking, Holacha that is need to be done, it has to be physical movement, is not enough to do a Shatat Yad. Number two, Alma Lo Efshar L'Tkuna. The second statement is that if something Holacha was done incorrectly, there is no way to rectify the Holacha that was done improperly. So Mar says, Eidve Rav Nachman Nadu'ulo Nishpach Min Akli Yalaritzpa. Somebody had done Kabbalat Adam, so it spilled out of the vessel onto the floor of a spool, and then he gathered it kasher. That's fine. What was the proof from what he just said? Well, blood spills on the floor. The blood spreads when it hits the floor. Part of the blood moved towards the Mizbeach, and part of it moved away from the Mizbeach. The part that moved towards the Mizbeach accomplished a certain amount of halacha. It was mitkarev. It got closer to the Mizbeach without someone actually doing halacha. And here, what do you see? You can gather up the blood, put it together, and walk into the Mizbeach. Sounds like you can rectify a problem of halacha. So Gemara says, no, this case, ma'iskinan kashiyatza lachutz. So they said, no, it went outward. When the blood spilled, it only flowed against or away from the Mizbeach. Where it says, Lagrai Nafik, Lagvai Loayo. Since when? I mean, there's only one direction that blood spills. How could it be? The blood spills, all of a sudden it's going outwards, not inwards. Where'd you get such a concept? Why are you so sure? Why are you so certain that's what's happening here? It says, Mamakom Midron. It was a incline, and since there was a slant, we knew that the blood was flowing away from the Mizbeach. Ibaidema Beguma. The other possibility was into a rut, a ditch, that the blood fell, so we knew that it wasn't going anywhere towards the Mizbeach.
I don't know.
Vibaydeima bismicha. The last possibility is the based on the viscosity of the liquid, that the liquid wasn't a flowing liquid. So it doesn't spread. It kind of falls in place. The thickness keeps it in place, and it didn't flow towards the Mizbeach. Right, this is all within the Azara. Seems a little bit strange, but alright, the Gemara is coming up with, trying to come up with solutions. Then the Gemara says, "V'ichpil tano de'eshminu kahani." So the Tana wrote twice this scenario to teach us all of these far-fetched cases. I mean, these cases where it's on a midron, it's an enguma, it's on a smicha, twice. Why? Because, we'll see, "V'od adatani v'idach pirkin." The other parak says, "Nishpach al ritzpa." Here he was not mekabel the dam in a kli. He shechted the animal, and the dam spilled straight onto the ground. Vasvo, and then he gathers it pasul. In that case, it's pasul. First of all, the Tana went out of his way to come up with a scenario that is a quite far-fetched scenario in order to teach us these dinim that don't seem to be really pratim and are missing the point. And then number two is we have a mishnah in the other parak, which says, first, if you compare or you contrast the two Mishnayot, one is a case where he had the Kabbalat Adam in the Kli, and then it spilled out of the Kli. Number two is where the blood spilled directly onto the floor. One is Kasher, one is Pasul. Well, what are you going to say now? I have a much better way to describe the two Mishnayot, which is, you could have made it Liflog Bididei. Split it along these lines. Bamidvar Mamurim Kshiyatza Lachutz. The one Mishnah said has said that it was kasher. It's not in a case where it went into a kli. It was in a case where it went into a kli, and when it spilled flowing outward. Aval nechnas lifnim. On the other hand, if he went into a kli, forget about on the ritzpah, he did the shechita and it went into a kli, but he spilled it towards the mizbeach, then pasul. So that would be the way to differentiate. Why you differentiate between whether you did the Kabbalat Adam in the Kli, or you did there was no Kabbalat Adam in the Kli and went directly to the floor? You have a much finer distinction that you could have made based on your logic, which is, it depends which way the blood flowed. The blood flowed outward, away from the Mizbech, kasher. Blood flows towards the Mizbech, problematic, because now you have a problematic Holecha and you can't rectify it. Mar says, Tiyufta. It's a very strong question, and therefore we kind of upend this idea that you cannot be Mitakein. That it's, you're unable to make takein halacha that is problematic. The objective of halacha is to get whatever object it is closer to the mizbeach. So how it gets closer to the mizbeach? One way is you do it, you physically move it. The other way is that it spills and moves closer to the mizbeach. So
human
but what happens if the blood got there without any human intervention? So then it's improper halacha. So now that improper halacha, can it be rectified? So it sounds like from this mission that it can be rectified. When it spills on the floor, it gets closer to the mizbeach. You can take it up, now pick it up, and do the halacha that will override the improper halacha that was done when it spilled. Right, we'll see it more explicit as we get to the bottom of the Amud today, this idea that you can rectify or change halacha that was done improperly. So Gemara says, Itmar, holacha shelo beregel, machloket Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbanon. Holacha without actually physically walking is really a machloket between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon. Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon is our Mishnah, where Rabbi Shimon says that any holacha she'ena tzricha, holacha that is unnecessary, you can't have a machshev psul. Rabbanon believe no, any type of holacha, if you're doing holacha, then that is classified as an avoda. If it's an avoda, you can have a machshava of psul, lo lishmo, pigol, whatever the machshava is that you're going to have. So now the Gemara makes it, they make a statement. Beholacha rabati dukuli ama lo plige de psula. Everybody agrees when it's big walking that it's pasul. Ki blige beholacha zutrati. Where they do argue is where there is limited walking. So now Rashi explains what's the difference between these. Holacha rabati is where physically walk. He actually walks towards the mizbeach. So Rabbi Shimon and the Chamim agree, that is, when you walk with your legs and you move it towards the mizbeach, then that is classified as holacha, and it will be problematic, meaning that it'll be problematic if it's done incorrectly. It'll be problematic if there's a machshava zara in that walking. On the other hand, holacha zutrati is moving it closer to the mizbeach without actually walking. It's being mekarevet to the mizbeach without actually physically moving. So that is where we have the machloket between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim.
Moving the legs?
Right. Without physically moving, you just extend your arm and you move it closer to the mizbeach. Over there, that's the machloket between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan believe that's holacha. Holacha is anything that's mitkarev to the mizbeach, that's called holacha. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, Rabbi Shimon says that is not called holacha. Holacha is you move your feet. If you don't move your feet, you haven't done holacha over here. So that's why Rabbi Shimon is going to be machshir in any machshava that happens in this type of holacha, because it's not classified as it's holacha according to Rabbi Shimon. So that's the Gemara now claims that's the machlokas between them. So machaku ala b'maravo. So they laughed about this in the Eretz Yisrael, about this distinction that's drawn. They should have laughed harder because the proof they're going to bring here is more complicated. The simplest proof, which the Gemara will get to, is our Mishnah. Our Mishnah doesn't sound anything like this. And our Mishnah sounds like even when you're physically walking. But the Gemara will get there. Right now, the Gemara is going to bring a proof from somewhere else, which is, Elachatata of the psula ba machshava Rabbi Shimon heicha mishkacha ba. When you have a chatata of, how do you have a psul machshava according to Rabbi Shimon? So they say, chatata of, the way that one shechs it is through a melika, so you pop the head of the bird off, and then the dam that comes out of the bird is squeezed on towards the mizbeach, in the lower half of the mizbeach. So the question is, where is the holacha according to Rabbi Shimon at this point in time? Where do you have the machshavet psul that it can happen over here? Why? E de choshiv ala mikame de lipuk dam. If he has any machshava about it before the blood comes out, lo klumhi, nothing happened. But that's equivalent to being prior to shechita. We spoke about that the other day. That if you're prior to shechita, by the mincha, if you're prior to the kmitza, you can't have a machshev psul. It's just not in the realm of avodot that matter. So it's over here. Until he pops the head off, then there's nothing to talk about here. Until there's dam coming out, there is no avodah being done. That's one. V'yidah batar nafak dam, if the blood's already left the bird, itavad le mitzvoto, the mitzvah's done. So within a moment, the whole thing is done, which is that the head popped off, the blood comes out, and you're done. The whole mitzvah is done. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon, the act of bringing the bird closer to the mizbeach is not considered halacha. So there's no period in time, according to Rabbi Shimon, where you can actually have a machshevet psul. According to the Chachamim, at least when he moves the bird, after he pops the head off, moves it closer to the mizbeach, that's an act of halacha, act of kreivah, the mizbeach, and then during that period you could have machshava. But according to Rabbi Shimon, there's no period of time when you can have machshava.
Okay.
Well, the assumption is that there is pigul by chatatov, that there is an ability to have machshevet psul by chatatov, which we find in the Mishnayot. So where is that, according to Rabbi Shimon? Where do you have such a psul? So my kushya, the Gemara has a better question, which is, my kushya, vidilma. Wait a minute. The underlying assumption of the Gemara right now is as soon as the blood leaves the bird, you're already yotze the mitzvah of the what is called the tizat adam, the shvichat adam on the mizbeach. Is that really true? The blood has to get from the bird to the mizbeach. And in that period of time, you do have a time to have a machshevet psul. So it says, Dilma mi de parish, v'adamato de mizbeach. From the time that it leaves the bird until it reaches the Mizbech, there you do have a period of time. So the Gemara's assumption until this point in time was as soon as that the bird itself is like a Kli Sharet, the blood's inside of it, as soon as it leaves the Kli Sharet, it's done. And you don't have to get it to the Mizbech. Here the Gemara says, no, wait a minute. It's not enough that the blood is coming out of the bird. It actually has to reach the Mizbech for the mitzvah to be done. Daha. We have a proof to this. Boy Minei, Rabbi Yirmiyahu, and Rabbi Zera. Here asks Rabbi Zera, Haya Mazeh. He was squeezing out the blood from the bird towards the Mizbech. Venikta Yado Shel Mazeh. And the one who was doing the Hazah, somehow his hand was cut off, chopped off. So a theoretical case, but they obviously trying to prove, or to see where the cutoff is. Which is, Nikta Yado, Mazeh, Ad Shelo Yigi Adam Lavir Mizbeach Mahu. But it was at the time that the blood had left the bird, it was being squeezed out, but is it yet to reach the Mizbeach? What's the din? Vamalena's response was, Psula. Then it's no good. My time, what was the reasoning? Because Vihiza, Vinatan, Vinon. We need, not only do you need Hazah, you don't need, just need the squeezing of the blood out and the squirting of the blood, but Vinatan. It actually has to reach the Mizbeach, has to be placed on the Mizbeach. So there's a requirement that the blood not only leave the bird, but actually reach the Mizbeach. If that's true, then there is a period of time, right? There's a small amount of time. That's all we need. We need some time. There's a small amount of time where you have the blood leaving the bird until it reaches the Mizbeach, where you can have a Machshev Psul. In the same way by the Chachamim, that the Hoshata, the moving of the bird closer to the Mizbeach, is a period of time when you can have a Machshava. Now we have a period of time where Rabbi Shimon could have a Machshava and Chatatov. Now, Ki Atara Papa Rav Huna, Pered Rabbi Shua, Mibay Rav, Amre, Hainu Hucha. This is the real laugh, which is, this is the real joke about this setup, which is, Uba Holacha Rabati Lo Plige? What do you mean? Rabbi Shimon and Chachamim don't argue about actual physical walking? Vaki plige, bolacha rabati plige. When it comes to our Mishnah, this is exactly what they're discussing. Rabbi Shimon says, unnecessary walking. Rabbi Shimon says, it doesn't matter. What do you mean, necessary, unnecessary walking? If you think that Rabbi Shimon agrees by walking, that it's all psulah, then what's Rabbi Shimon talking about in our Mishnah? Ela bolacha zutrate, kuliyama lo plige, de lo pasla. Here it's a machlokas in the girsa. We can read it both ways. I'll read it as lo pasul, then we'll come back. Read it. That everybody agrees that it's not pasul when it comes to holacha zutrati. That is not considered a holacha whatsoever. Ki plige, their arguments about holacha rabati, when they actually move their legs, which is our Mishnah. That's our Mishnah, which is when you're actually physically walking. That is where the machlokas is. Now Rashi has an alternative gear. So the gear that we have here is delo pasla. Everybody agrees by holacha zutrati, delo pasla, that it's not the pasul. Because it's not good enough. It's not an avoda. Hoshata, not moving your legs, it's not classified as an avoda. Rashi's girsa is kuliyama lo plige de pasla. Everybody agrees that it's pasul. Now when Rashi reads that as the girsa, he's saying even Rabbi Shimon agrees when it comes to hoshata that it is pasul. Why? Because Rabbi Shimon agrees that if you shecht adjacent to the mizbeach, which would make it that the holacha is dispensable. You don't need to walk it to the mizbeach. You still have to get it from where you shechted it to the mizbeach. So there has to be some movement. There has to be some sort of hoshata that gets it to the mizbeach. So Rabbi Shimon agrees that that minor movement is absolutely necessary. That getting it from the makom ha-shechita to the mizbeach, that's absolutely necessary. And he would even agree by hoshata that that is posel. Whereas when it comes to holacha, physical walking, over there it's not necessarily indispensable, it's not necessarily necessary, and therefore it's not pusel. The way we have the girsa we have is lo pasla, which is that the hoshata, according to everybody, is not a meaningful avoda. You actually have to physically walk, and there's where you have a machlokas. Rabbi Shimon says, you physically walk, doesn't matter, it depends on whether it's necessary or not necessary. The Chachamim say, it's any type of walking, any type of holacha, will be considered to be pasul. The one thing to note here is that it's interesting before, the Gemara concluded before that Amar Ulam Rabbi Yochanan Holacha Shalul Regal Loshma Holacha. That Holacha without moving your feet is not called Holacha. So how come the Gemara over there didn't ask on Rabbi Yochanan, what about Chatatov? I mean, the Gemara asked on Rabbi Shimon, once you don't have Hoshata as being the Holacha, then you have a problem. How do you Machshev Psul? Well, guess what? Rabbi Yochanan says the exact same thing. He says that Hoshata is not classified as Halicha. So Rashi over here makes a distinction. It's an interesting distinction over here. He says that when it comes to Rabbi Shimon, who says that Hoshata is not classified as a walking, he means at all. There is no such thing as Holacha over here. But when Rabbi Yochanan says, Holacha Rabati Kamar, She'ein Dar Kabakach, that only in a place where you could otherwise walk with your feet does Hoshata not have any bearing. But in a place where the only way to move the item is through Hoshata, even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that that is classified as Halicha. So Rabbi Yochanan's statement about that Halacha Shelo Beregel is not classified as Halacha, that's only when the option is to walk it. And instead you pass it. And you move it with your hand instead of moving it with your legs. In that instance, you have a problem. On the other hand, if in the case like Chatat Of, where there is no alternative, you shech that right by the Mizbech, the only thing to do is bring it close to the Mizbech, even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that there is such thing as Hoshata. So that's Rav Ashi's distinction between why the Gemara didn't ask on Rabbi Yochanan and did ask on Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi Shimon says, he says that, we're saying it even in Chatat Of, we're saying that Hoshata is not classified as Halacha, period. Doesn't matter where or what or how it's done, because the example that we bring is where, according to Rabbi Shimon, you shecht it adjacent to the Mizbech. And yet he's calling that not Halacha. So there it's absolutely necessary, and yet he's calling it not Halacha. So there'll be a distinction between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yochanan according to Rashi. So now the Gemara says, Holichozar, and this is the question that you had asked before, what does this mean by rectifying? Holichozar, vekziro kohen, vechazar veholicho. A zar, a non-kohen, took the blood in closer to the Mizbech. A kohen picks it up from, takes it away from him, goes back out, and then brings it back in. So basically he's trying to erase what the Zar did. The Zar took it in, did krev on the Mizbech, which is not a kosher olacha. Now the Kohen wants to rectify, so he takes it back out, and then he brings it back again. So pligi ba, b'nei Rabbi Chiya v'Rabbi Yanai. Chanamar kasher, chanamar pasul. Here we have a maklokas. Mar savar efshar l'tkuna. Right? And one of them says, yes, there's a possibility to fix it. Mar savar lo efshar l'tkuna. That you can't fix it. So this is exactly this, before we had the tiyuf done, whether you can rectify something. Yesterday, the Gemara proposed that. They tried to explain the Mishnah that way, and then the Gemara rejected it and said, wait a minute, you can't, we can explain it somewhere else. The Gemara yesterday changed it from Magzira Kohen to Lachzor, to pass it back instead of returning, going backwards. And then the Gemara at the top here tried to prove from that Mishnah that you can be Mataki. And the Gemara says, how do you know? Maybe the Yisrael was standing behind the Kohen and not toward. So the Gemara had no proof from that about Tikkun. We did come up with the Tiyuf, though, which is what we said before, that we had a very strong question against the one who says that there is no Tikkun. And over here, you have a Machlokas, over here, whether Tikkun works here or doesn't work over here. So then the Gemara says, Holy Chol Kohen, a Kohen took it in. Vechziro, and then he took it back out. And then a zar brought it in. So as opposed to the other case where the problematic holacha was done first, and then the Kohen rectifies it, over here the holacha, proper holacha was done first, and the Kohen returned it back, and now a zar takes it in, does the second holacha. What's the din? So Amar Simi Barashi, the divrei makshir pasul, the divrei posel makshir. That the din will be exact opposite over here. The exact opposite of their opinions before. Before we had it where the Tzar first takes it in, and the Kohen is coming to erase it. So one opinion is that the Tikkun works, which means the second Holacha is strong enough to override the first Holacha. The other opinion is no, that whatever was done first is Koveya. So now I'm going to have the opposite case, which is that the Kohen took the Holacha first, and then he takes it out, and then the Tzar takes it in. So let's see, the opinion before said it's Kasher because the second one overrides. So over here too, the second one overrides means the Tzar did it, and it erases what the Kohen did, and it's Pasul. The other way around, where he said, the one who said that it was Pasul before, he said it's Pasul because we go after the first Holacha. The first Holacha was done by a Zar. Well, in this case, the first Holacha was done by a Kohen, so it would be Kasher. So that's Reb Simi Barashi's approach, is that we'll say the exact opposite of what we said before. And along comes Rav Amar, Hav the Tivrei HaPosel Pasul. But even according to one who said before it's Pasul, and we go after the first, also over here, we're going to go and say it's Pasul. Why? My time. What's the reasoning? Is because Da'atzarech Lamtuya, that you have to get it closer to the Mizbech. The bottom line is that the blood has to end up on the Mizbech. And when the Tzar takes it in, it's no good. Then when the Kohen comes to rectify it afterwards, now you have a problem. On the other hand, when it's the opposite way around, where the Kohen took it first, which should be that now it's kasher, because Halacha was done properly in the first place, and then when the Kohen turns it back out and the Tzar brings it in, why should it be pasul? The answer is that once the blood was taken back out again, how's the blood going to end up on the Mizbech? In order to provide the kapara that is needed for this karban, the blood must physically get to the Mizbech. So even though the first Halacha was done properly, you accomplished the avodah of Halacha, nevertheless, in the end, the blood still has to get to the Mizbech in order to provide kapara. And how is it getting there in the end? It's getting there through a zar. But the fact that it's getting there through a zar makes it pasul. even though it was done first properly, once it's done again and brought to the Mizbeach, and the necessity to bring it to the Mizbeach, that is poselet. So even according to the one who says that we go after the first holacha, and it should have been kasher here, nevertheless he's going to say it's pasul because of the need to get it to the Mizbeach. So now the Gemara says, Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyah the Ravashi. Hachi Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah midifti. So that's the girsi here, something that changed, because it's Amar Rav Yirmiyah L'Ravashi, Achim Amar Rav Yirmiyah Midifti, maybe it was a different Rav Yirmiyah, but others, the Shita Magretz, it changes it to Amar Ravina, Ravina L'Ravashi. They were contemporaries, Ravina and Ravashi. So Amar Ravina L'Ravashi, Achim Amar Rav Yirmiyah Midifti. Ha, Tzarich, Lemtuye, Machloket Rabbi Eliezer, or Rabbi Lazar, it's our Mishnah, right, the girsi of Rabbi Lazar, because it's Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Lazar's son that are in the Mishnah. So Tzarich Lemtuye is Machloket, Rabbi Lazar, Verabbonon. Machloket is between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbonon. What's Rabbi Lazar and what's the Rabbonon in our Mishnah? Remember in our Mishnah, Rabbi Lazar says that Hiluch, that is necessary, is Mikarib to the Mizbeach, and that is considered to be problematic. That Olacha will have machshavet psul in it, whereas olacha that is unnecessary, then that is the ein machshava poselet boed. So we have actually three opinions in our Mishnah. Tana Kama says any olacha is posel. Rabbi Shimon says olacha is not posel because it's not necessary whatsoever. And then we have Rabbi Lazar's son, who is an in-between position, and says if it's olacha that's necessary, it's posel. If it's something that's unnecessary, meaning that it's going out or away from the mizbeach, then that's not a problem in machshava. So Negmar says, this concept of needing to bring it closer to the Mizbeach is really Machokas Rabbi Lazar V'Rabbonon. Titnan, that's our mission. Rabbi Lazar Omer Amaleich, Makom Shetzarich Laleich, someone who walks in a place that's necessary, Machsheva Poselet. Makom She'in Tzarich Laleich, Ein Machsheva Poselet. Then, in a place where it's unnecessary, then it's not Posel. So over here also, the Tzarich Lamtuye, bringing it back in, was it necessary or was it not necessary? That the blood was already at the Mizbeach. It was already there. So why? Somebody took the blood back out, has to come back in again. Is that necessary? The answer is no, because the blood was already at the Mizbeach. This extraneous walking was all necessary.
It was Mizbeach.
Right, so according to, this is what he's saying, that it's a Machlokas, Rabbi Lazar, and Rabbanan. According to Rabbi Lazar, it's fine now, because this is all unnecessary. The Holocha was accomplished by the first, by the Kohen, and now whatever is being done now is unnecessary. You can't have a problem with Zar, you can't have a problem with Makshev Psul. The Rabbanan would say, any Holocha, the Tzuruch Lam Tuya, to get it, anything you're doing to get it to the Mizbeach, that can have a Makshev Psul. Over here, you're getting it to the Mizbeach, you can have a Makshev Psul.
Why is it necessary?
I mean, Rav is going to set it, in a second, Rav is going to set up the Machlokas that way. That is exactly your point. Is it necessary or not? So, I mean, we can read Rava. I just think that the necessary and unnecessary, like I explained before, Lam Tuye means that the blood has to get to the Mizbeach, and that makes it necessary. That's a practical consideration, maybe not a halachic consideration. That's how I would separate. The Chachamim say that the practical consideration makes it a halachic consideration. Rabbi Elazar says, no. The halachic accomplishment of halacha was done already. The fact that it was taken out and now has to get back to Mizbeach, that's a practical consideration, that's not a halachic consideration. That's not halachic halacha anymore. Halachic halacha was already accomplished. What you have to do now is just practical. If you want to be able to do this week on the Mizbeach, you need the blood by the Mizbeach. But that's not considered to be a necessary halachic halacha anymore because it was already brought to the Mizbeach. I think that's how you have to draw the distinction. And Rav is going to say something similar. Right? The difference between the practical and the halachic halacha. I think that's the way to phrase it. I think that's what Rav is going to say now. V'amar Rava, Hakol Modim. Everybody agrees, Kiblo B'chutz, if he did the Kabbalat Adam outside, meaning that not near the Mizbeach, and then Mechniso B'fnim, and then he brings in, mean all the Shkit has to be done in the Azara. So B'chutz here doesn't mean outside the Azara, it just means away from the Mizbeach. So he did it away from the Mizbeach, then Mechniso B'fnim, and then he brings it towards the Mizbeach, Zeh Yiluch Shetzarech Lalech. Everybody agrees that's necessary holacha, and you can have Machshev Psul. Kiblo B'fnim. On the other hand, if he accepted it, meaning that he did receive it right by the Mizbeach, Ve'el Tzio L'chutz, and then took it out, Zehu Yiluch She'en Tzarech Lalech. There everybody agrees that's unnecessary, because there was no reason to take it away from the Mizbeach. And this is to be your question. Lo Nechluku, El B'sheich Niso, V'chaz Ve'el Tzio. That a case where it was already brought in, then they took it back out again. Mar Savar Hatzarech Lam Tuyei, that's the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan say it's necessary to bring it back to the Mizbeach. If it's necessary to bring it back to the Mizbeach, that has a din of halacha. If it's a din of halacha, you can have a chesed b'sul. Marsara lav ki hiluch hatzarich lavodah dami. Right? It's no longer a halacha that is required to do avodah. The avodah was done. The avodah tolacha was done already. It was already brought to the mizbeach. Now it's a practical consideration. I need to get the blood to the mizbeach. But the halachical, this is not an avodah anymore. The avodah was completed and done. What you have now is just you need a practical consideration. I need to get the blood to the mizbeach. So again, there's a difference between halachic avodah halacha and halacha, which is a necessity to get the blood to the mizbeach. That's what Rabbi Lezer will claim, according to Rabbi Lezer will claim according to Rava. So where it says, Abaye challenged this explanation of Rava. Because we have a brayta. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Hamaleich mimakom shetzarich laleich, machsheva poselet. If you go somewhere you need to walk, machsheva poselet, ketzad. Give me an example of that. What's the case? Kiblo b'chutz, v'chnosu lefnim, zehu hiluch shetzarich laleich. That's a necessary walking. Kiblo b'fnim, v'otzio l'chutz, zehu luch shein tzarich. You do it close to Mizbeach, you walk it out, that's totally unnecessary. So if he went again, then, after he took it out, and then he brings it back in. Right. Then afterwards he brings it back in. Here Rabbi Lazar says explicitly, that is considered to be avodah. Now, speak to your question, the practical consideration of bringing the blood back in makes it hiluch, that's necessary. And Ein Ochanami, Rabbi Lazar agrees to the Chachamim in this position. So now what do you have? You have this, Rabbi Lezer make an explicit statement that when it's taken out and being brought back in, he agrees that Hiluch Shetzarich. So you can't make this distinction between, or say this is a machlokas between Rabbi Lezer and the Rabbanon in this case. Amalei, Itanya, Tanya. If it's a Brisa, it's a Brisa. I mean, if you have a Brisa, I can't say anything against the Brisa. It's clear that Rabbi Lezer's opinion is not that way. Rashi says over here, this is an unbelievable thing, Ve'ein machloket ben Rabbi Lezer l'tanakama ela Rabbi Shimon Abu Akai upalig. Rashi says here that the Mishnah means that the Tanakama and Rabbi Lezer have the same opinion now. Because, well, there's no distinction. If you are the Chachamim, we just said before, according to Rava, if you're taking it from outside to in, meaning you're taking it from far away to in, everybody agrees that it's a good, that's a halacha. If you're taking it from close to Mizbeach out, everybody agrees that's not a halacha. What about the case where it was in, you took it out, now you bring it back in? Well, now we just said Rav Lezer agrees with Chachamim, that's considered Hiluch Shetzarich. So where's their machlokas? Their machlokas disappears now. There is no machlokas between Tanakama and Rav Lezer. That's what Rashi says, there are only two opinions in the Mishnah. Tanakama and Rav Lezer are one opinion, and they are both arguing on Rabbi Shimon, Rav Lezer's father. Their argument, Rabbi Shimon says that all halacha is unnecessary because you could check that adjacent to the mizbeach, so halacha itself is totally and completely unnecessary. It's not an avodah where you can have machshava because you don't need to do it. So that's where Rashi learns it in the end. You could say when Rabbi says kitanya, kitanya, that doesn't mean that Rabbi Lezer now agrees to the Tanakama. You could still say there are three opinions. You're just going to have to find a different distinction between Rabbi Lezer and the Tanakama. You're right. And the Tanakama disagrees in a case where you're taking away from the Mizbeach. So that's still called Olacha. Maybe anything with walking with the object is considered Olacha. So it's not necessary to say, Tosfos brings on the Mishnah that Rashi says that Rabbi Lezer and the Tanakama don't argue. It's only a machlokes between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shimon. I don't think you have to say that. And that doesn't have to be the conclusion of the Gemara, but that is the way Rashi reads the Mishnah based on the conclusion of the Gemara. Alright. So now the new parak. New parak begins with something that we've seen. We read Breita just yesterday that had a similar idea, which is, Kol Zvachim, any Zevach, any Beimad that's been shechted, Shekiblu Daman, the Kabbalat Adam was done Ayidei Zar, someone who's not a Kohen, Onein, a Kohen who has one of the relatives that he has to have a velut for that passed away and has yet to be buried.
This Onein is a Kohen who's an
Onein? Yes, correct. It's a Kohen who's an Onein. Tvoyom is any Tumah that is either Tumat Vyom, like a Sheret, or a Tumat Shiva that does not require a Korban in order to be Matir or Makshir, the individual. So this is someone who went to the mikveh and is waiting for the sun to set on that day. It's called a Tvul Yom. So he's already gone to the mikveh, and as soon as the sun sets on that day, he will be Tahor. So that's a Tvul Yom. Mechusar Kippurim is someone who, in addition to having to go to the mikveh and become Tahor, has also bring a Korban to Matir himself to use the Kodesh, eat Kodesh, to participate in Kodesh. That's, for instance, a Zav, a Mitzora. These are individuals who are Mechusar Kippurim. Without the Korban on the eighth day, they cannot enter the Mikdash, they can't eat from the Karbanot. Mechusar Bigadim, a Kohen that is not wearing Bigadim. Shalo Rachatz Yadayim Reglaim, a Kohen that did not wash his hands and his feet before he did the Avodah. Arel, Kohen that does not have a Brit Milah. Now he doesn't have a Brit Milah, not because he doesn't want to get a Brit Milah, but his brothers passed away when they got a Brit Milah, so therefore he was exempted because of Sakana from getting a Brit Milah, but he's still classified as an Arel. Tamei, someone who is Tamei. Now this Tosfos points out, Enterech l'marzu v'marzu. In that if you say Tvoyom is problematic, then certainly Tamei, a full-fledged Tuma, is problematic. Yoshev, now how to read this is whether it's Yoshev is a single problem, sitting down, is a problem, or Yoshev ve'omeid al gabei kelim, whether he was sitting and standing on kelim. I mean, if there is some sort of chatzitza between the Kohen and the Ritzpat Azara, the floor of the Azara. So either it's both Yoshev and omeid al kelim, or it's Yoshev, comma, and omeid al gabei kelim. There's two ways you could read it here. Al gabei be'ema, if he was sitting on top of an animal. Al gabei raglei chavero, he's standing on his friend's feet. Pasal. All these are problematic when it comes to the Kabbalat Adam. When he's doing the Avoda, anybody who, one of these individuals who does the Avoda is problematic. Now, Kibel B'smol, if he received the blood, he did the Kabbalat Adam with his left hand, Pasal. Same din as all the others above. Rabbi Shimon Makshir, Rabbi Shimon says it's not problematic when it comes to the left hand. Now the Gemara queries, Zar Minolan. How do we know that a zar is problematic or is mechalel the avodah when it comes to kabbalat adam? How do we know that once he's done it, pasal? A zar that does the avodah, mechalel. I mean, that we can find even maybe that a zar is not permitted to do the avodah. But how do we know once the zar has done it, that now it becomes a pasul, it's mechudal? So, Tani Levi, we're going to have two possibilities here. We're going to have Tani Levi, and then we're going to have Debei Rabbi Shmuel. We're going to give us two possibilities of where we learn it from. Tani Levi, Daber el Aron ve'el benav limor, v'inazru mikodshei b'nei Yisrael. So the Gemara says, when it says, v'inazru mikodshei b'nei Yisrael, the word here, nezer, means to separate oneself, to remove oneself, mikodshei b'nei Yisrael. So here it's an instruction to the Kohanim, instruction in Parshat Emor to the Kohanim, to separate themselves from the carbonate of b'nei Yisrael. Velo yichalulu, mean that, and then they will not be michalel. They will not profane the korban. But ha'im avdu. What's obvious from here is that if they do this, whatever this action is that they do, they will be michalel. Bnei Yisrael v'mutemai. What is this coming to exclude? The kohen, which the pasuk story about in Emor has tumat aguf. He is tamei. While he is tamei, the pasuk says v'yinazru, separate from the karbanot. Now, a tomb, coming with tumat aguf, should separate from all karbanot. Why does the pasuk only say to him, "Binazru mi kodshei bnei Yisrael"? Separate from the kodshim of bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael is opposed to whom? So the Gemara says, okay, maybe as opposed to nashim. Only a man's korban can a kohen not approach it when he is tamei. But maybe a woman's korban, the kohen can approach it when he is tamei. The Gemara says, "Ilei melamuti nashim korban nashim betumah karev." Wait, what a minute. What type of distinction is this? Why is the korban of a woman any different than a korban of a man? I mean, what? A korban of a woman doesn't have any restrictions in tumah? It has the same restrictions that is a man's korban. So why should a kohen who's tamei be permitted to work on a woman's korban and not on a man's korban? It makes no sense. Ella, the mutei ov de kochavim. It's coming to exclude goy. Bnei Yisrael, which means yes, Bnei Yisrael, no, to a goy. This is a case where a goy sends his korban to the mikdash. He's in no der nedev. There's a possibility a goy is allowed to bring korbanot nedarim and korbanot nedava to the mikdash, and we accept them. So when here he brought his korban, and now the kohen is tamei. So the kohen is tamei. He can't work with a Jew's korban, but he can work with a non-Jew's korban when he's tamei. Rabbi says, wait a minute. Hashta tzitz lo meratzeh. That by the case of a tzitz, the tzitz we know, when the Kohen HaGadol is lovesh the tzitz, according to one opinion, or according to the other opinion, it's always the tzitz is miratzeh at all time periods, is that any korban that has a psul, for instance, in Bekodesh, something that goes wrong with it, that has to do with its ktusha, the tzitz overrides it and allows it to go on to the mizbeach and is miratzeh. So for instance, if a korban that's tamei, not the kohen himself was tamei, but the korban itself, the animal became tamei, the meat, after shechita, it became tamei, and was placed on the mizbeach, the tzitz is meratzeh, that such a korban will be accepted and is a kosher korban. So there we say, but the tzitz lo meratzeh, damar mar, lovdei chochavim, ben b'shogeg, ben mezit, lo hurtza b'tumah karev, therefore you're allowed to do a tumah. So you have two levels of tumah that can have a problem for a korban. One is the tumah of the korban itself. When the korban itself is tameh, That's one problem putting it on the Mizbeach. There's another problem if you have a Kohen Tameh, which is Tumat Aguf. The Kohen Tameh, and he places it on the Mizbeach. When it comes to Tumat Basar, when it comes to the Korban itself when it's Tameh, if it ends up on the Mizbeach, the Tzitz is Meratzeh. The Tzitz says it works and it's fine. When it comes to Tumat Aguf, the Kohen who does it, but Tumat Aguf, the Korban is Pasul and it's not rectified by the Tzitz. It's no good whatsoever. So now over here, by a Goy, by a non-Jew's Korban, when it comes to the Korban being Tameh, and it goes on Mizbech, the Tzitz is not Miratzeh. The Tzitz doesn't take care of it. So now what are you going to say? By Tumat Aguf, with the Kohen Tameh, he's going to be able to work the Korban of the Goy. You see here that in Yisrael's Korban, where Tumat Basar is considered to be a Kula, and the Tzitz is Miratzeh, the Tzitz, or it can't take care of the fact that the Kohen is Tumat Aguf. By a Goy's Korban, where the Tzitz doesn't even work in Tumat Basar, even when the Korban itself is Tameh, it doesn't work, then certainly where the Tumat Aguf of Kohen is not going to work. So that can't be what the Pasuk's talking about. Elo Hachi Kamar, Binazru Mikochei, Bnei Yisrael, Velo Yichalulu. No, Binazru Mikochei means the Kohen, who has Tumat Aguf has to separate, and also, you know who else has to separate? Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael also have to separate from the Korbanot, Velo Yichalulu, and they won't cause it to be Chilul. So there are actually two lavin here. There's one lav is a Kohen with Tumat Aguf, cannot approach the Korban. If he does, he's Mechalel the Korban. And number two is a Yisrael, a Zahar, who works on the Korban. He's also Mechalel Oto. So he has to stay away, Velo Yichalulu, and won't be Mechulel, won't be profaned. So based on this, Tani Levi says, that's where the source. The source for the fact that a Zahar does an Avodah is Mechalel, the Avodah, this is the source. V'yin Azru Mekotche Ben Yisrael, Velo Yichalulu. That's the source for it. Hey, Rabbi Shmuel Tano, Atri b'Kal v'Chomer. The Rabbi Shmuel says it's actually a Kal v'Chomer mi Baal Mum, from a Baal Mum. A Baal Mum is a Kohen that has some sort of blemish in him that disqualifies him from doing a Vodah. If he does a Vodah, then it's problematic. It's Mechulal. So now, we're going to learn from that. If a Baal Mum is Mechalel, then certainly to Mataguf. My Baal Mum sho'ochel im avad chilel. Now, a Kohen Baal Mum is restricted from performing avoda in the Mikdash, but he's allowed to participate in the Achilat Kodshim. He's allowed to eat from the Karbanot that are brought. He's one of the individuals that has a right to the division of the Kodshim in the Mikdash. So now I have Baal Mum. Baal Mum can eat from a Korban, but he cannot bring a Korban. A person, a Zar, when it comes to a Zar cannot eat the Karbanot. So if he can't eat the Karbanot, certainly he cannot bring the Karbanot. That's the Kal v'Chomer from Baal Mum. Baal Mum who can eat, but can't do Avodah. So certainly a Zar who can't eat, he can't do Avodah, and it'll be Mechulal. Where it says, Ma'ala Baal Mum shken asa bo kariv kimakriv. Wait a minute, Baal Mum has a Chumra, and that Chumra might make it, that's why it's problematic. But maybe a Zar won't have this problem. Why? What's the Chumra in Baal Mum? Baal Mum applies equally to the Makriv, which means the Kohen, as well as the mukrav, the karev, that which is being brought on Mizbeach, the animal. Balei mum, a mum is posel by the human, and a mum is posel by the behemah. You can't bring a behemah, bal mum, on the Mizbeach. Just like a Kohen, who is a bal mum, can't perform the avodah. So there's actually an equation between the Kohen and the Korban. They both have a psul of bal mum. Maybe that chumrah of that issue is what makes it that it's mechulal, that if it's brought in Mizbech, the avodah is done by the Kohen, that it's mechulal. But a Zar, maybe that's not the case. It says, we'll have Tamei Yochiach. A Tamei. A Kohen Tamei is not allowed to perform the avodah. If he does perform the avodah, it's mechulal. So you see here, we have two. We have a Tamei. If you said Baal Mum is a problem because there's a Chumrah, that the animal, the behemah, the Korban that's being brought is the same as the Kohen, well, I have Tumah. Tumah does not apply to the Korban. Why does Tumah not apply to a Korban? Because a behemah is alive. And as long as an animal is alive, it's not Mekabel Tumah. So Korban can't be Tameh. Now after Shechted, after the Basar is there, after the Avodah is done in it, then it can become Tameh, because then it becomes Basar, it becomes Ochel. But as long as it's still an animal, it's as long as it's alive, it can't be accepting Tumah. So there's no equation there between the Kohen and the Behemah. A Kohen could be Tameh, and he'll be problematic for Avodah. Behemah will never be Tameh. So I can prove to you that it doesn't matter. The fact that you don't have an equivalence between the Behemah and the Kohen, that's not relevant over here. Sumer says, wait a minute, Malu Tameh, she came in Tameh. Wait a minute, Tameh has a Chumrah. Tumah is a Chumrah because not only is he Tameh, but he can be Tameh Acherim. He can cause others to be Tameh. Sumer says, Baal Mum Yochiach. then you can learn that out of Baal Mum. A Baal Mum can't make another Baal Mum, another person a Baal Mum. Right? That's a physical blemish. It's not a spiritual blemish that can be passed on. Bechazar Adin, so therefore, well, between them, Lori Zeh, Karei Zeh, Lori Zeh, Karei Zeh, each one has a Chumrah, but the Chumrahs are not common between them. Atzada Sheveh Sheveh, the common area between them is Shemuz Harim, that were warned against doing these Avodot, Bim Avdo Chilalo, and if you do them, you are Mechalel. So just like by Tumat Haguf, there's a warning, don't do Avodah when you do Tumat Haguf. And if you do that, it's mechulal, because otherwise it'll be mechulal. That's one. Number two is by Baal Mum. By Baal Mum, it says don't do the avoda, and if you do do the avoda, it's mechulal. So let's take a zar. Here's another case. A zar is instructed. There's an isur alav that a zar not perform avoda in the mikdash, because it says the kohen and not the zar. A zar may not perform avoda. So now, just like the Tzar may not perform Avodah, like a Baal Mum may not perform Avodah, like a Tamei may not perform Avodah, so too. It'll be, the outcome will be the same. Just like by Tumah and Baal Mum, the Avodah that's done is Mechulal, so too over here, a Tzar that does the Avodah will also be Mechulal, and that'll be the Limud that a Tzar that does Avodah is automatically Pasul. And that's the two sources for the fact that Tzar Minolan. How do we know that a Tzar is Posel, Mechalel, the Avodah when he works? One is Tana de Levi, that he learns that at the Pasuk will be Nazru, Mikochei, Bnei Yisrael. From the extraneous, Bnei Yisrael teaches us that means Bnei Yisrael also have to separate. They can't be near the Karbanot, otherwise they are Mechalel, the Karbanot. And the Tana de Berishma learns it out from a Kal V'Chomer, but really a Me'atzad between Tumah and Baal Mum. Tomorrow, the Tzadaf will ask the question about where we know that a Tzar is Muzhar. Why is it so obvious to you that a Tzar is warned against doing Avodah? That's what the next question in the Gemara is that we'll do tomorrow, which is Minalan de Muzhar. Where do we know that a Tzar actually is warned against doing Avodah in the Mikdash, which is the premise of the Me'atzad here, that you have to be warned against doing it. Okay, we'll stop over here.